The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a Thursday that feels just like a Friday, because we ain't going to be here tomorrow. Enjoy us while you got us. It's our last live show before the, we're calling it a four-day weekend around here, Dom.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates. Thank you, Rich, on the board. You can always join us. Air your early grievances, because you can't do it tomorrow. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, you sent me a piece. And I found a complimentary piece, but I think we should start today talking about the butthurt GOP. Yeah. I know it butthurts others sometimes when I use that term, but I like using it. I'm going to throw it around quite a bit today.
Very appropriate for the poor, sensitive Republicans.
Here is the headline that I found over at the Raw Story, Dom. GOP is butthurt. I mean, mad. That Milwaukee cops are making them face protesters. It's so sad, Dom. They don't really want to face anyone, do they? Constituents? They don't even go to town halls. Are you kidding me? Why would they want to face those that disagreed with them, Dom? It's like you think it's a democracy.
Well, I mean, heaven forbid. And of course, the protesters, whoever they may be, have the right to be within sight and sound of the event, not 2 miles away.
Dominic, Republicans, according to my source, Republicans are trying to move protesters further away from their national convention site this summer, but the Secret Service and local officials in Milwaukee aren't letting them do it. That doesn't seem very Milwaukee-like, Dom. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell wrote to Secret Service Chief Kim Cheadle, warning that the preliminary plans would create an area of conflict outside the convention between protesters, convention goers, delegates. I'm sure Dom will be in that mix. Echoing similar concerns voiced last month by the Republican National Committee. But sources, and now they're quoting your source, so I'll let you take over, Dom. But sources told NBC News that the protest zones fall outside the security perimeter. That's important, Dom. You can't protest if you need a badge and credentials to get to the protest zone.
They may not allow you to protest, depending on your background, Crudy. You got to be approved. Almost like, remember Scott Walker in the Capitol, you got to get a permission to protest. You got to get a permit to exercise your constitutional rights.
The First Amendment is my permit.
NBC News reported this morning the headline, GOP officials frustrated by the Secret Service's refusal to move protesters away from the RNC convention hall. And that was the one I was going to talk about. But apparently there is another article also from CNBC. This came out at 2:30 Central Time, so less than 2 hours. Here's what NBC says. The RNC is demanding. They're demanding, Michael, that Secret Service Director Kim Cheadle personally get involved to move a planned protest zone further away from the site of the party's convention in Milwaukee, according to a letter obtained by NBC News. The letter sent Thursday by Todd Stigerta, counsel to the RNC, to Cheadle builds upon escalating demands by GOP officials to move the planned zone. Those officials believe the current plans would force delegates and others attending to come in close contact with protesters on their way to the site of the convention. A quote, with less than 2 months before the convention and even less time before the U.S. Secret Service finalizes the plan, it is imperative you take personal and immediate steps to fix this unacceptable flaw in the design of the security perimeter, because we might get butthurt when people yell at us. So, I mean,
no, I'm answering on behalf of Cheadle. No.
The situation demands that you immediately provide the appropriate mandate and delegated authority to your team to adjust the security perimeter to alleviate these risks. A spokesperson for the Secret Service didn't immediately respond to questions about the letter. The detailed map of the Secret Service's security perimeter, the zone around the convention that is off limits to the general public and requires credentials and a screening to access, hasn't been publicly released, but people familiar with the plan say the space identified as a protest zone, Pier Marquette Park, falls outside of it, NBC News reported earlier today. Now, I saw Santa at Pier Marquette Park over the holidays, man. It's a great park. Citing safety concerns after a man set himself on fire outside former President Trump's New York trial, a suspicious package sent to the National Committee this week, GOP officials have said they want the Secret Service to expand the security perimeter because the current plans would force convention attendees to be near protesters as they entered and exited the Pfizer Forum, the site of the convention, risking confrontations. GOP's four-day nominating convention takes place July 15th through the 18th. Another quote, the attorney wrote to the Secret Service, "Your failure to act now to prevent these unnecessary and certain risks will imperil tens of thousands of convention attendees, inexcusably forcing them into close proximity to the currently planned First Amendment zone." Yeah, they don't like that First Amendment. They don't want to be near that First Amendment zone. Maybe if they labeled it Second Amendment zone, they'd have no problem walking by it. Inevitably, the plan will heighten rather than obviate or diffuse tensions and confrontation, creating an increased and untenable risk of violence. This rapidly deteriorating security environment and the severe consequences to the public underscore the exigency, your personal leadership and action to solve this problem. The RNC.
I'm sure everyone will act like tourists and stay within the velvet ropes, though.
I mean, isn't that how they showed us to do it? The RNC and Secret Service were scheduled to meet today, Thursday, to discuss several topics related to the convention.
What if they refuse to bring the convention to Milwaukee because someone might have to deal with the protester? I know you haven't wanted here ever, have you? Would they reroute it? Would they suddenly put it in a different city? Didn't they kind of do that in 2020? I mean, I know it wasn't much of a convention, but didn't Trump move his convention? Couldn't you see Trump doing that? He had his convention on the White House lawn. So, yes, I think he had moved his convention. That wasn't the traditional place for it. But could you see it down at Mar-a-Lago, Dom?
I mean, why not? A little bit more here from the NBC News. They reported earlier Thursday that the Secret Service has said the security perimeter is based on a threat assessment and that it would prefer not to take over more area than necessary. Further inaction by the Secret Service would punt the decision to Milwaukee officials. Hell, that's my hometown, baby. A spokesman for Milwaukee Mayor Kevler Johnson, a Democrat, said officials were, quote, very open to listening to all the concerns from all parties involved, but some members of Milwaukee's Common Council said they felt the currently planned protest zone was adequate. It's adequate.
I find it adequate, Dom.
There's folks that want it closer. You know what I mean? I mean, there's... It's just not them. Now, they're raising the most fuss.
The Deer District, right next to the Pfizer Forum? How about we turn the Deer District into the protest zone? Would that be acceptable? But, of course, then none of the protesters could actually get there, Dom, because if you put it inside the chain link fences, and they're not chain link, they're not like 3 feet tall, they're like 10 feet tall. If the protest zone is inside the green zone, as we've come to know it, then no one can protest. It has to be outside the fencing. This is the nearest location outside the fencing, and they've already had rulings on this before, within sight and sound, right? You can't put it out in Franklin or something, Dom, can you?
That's the point. They'd love to if they could. Jeff Fleming, a spokesman for Kevlar Johnson, said this, We are very open to listening to all concerns that are being expressed from the people who want it closer and from people who want it farther away. He said, adding the city has a contractual and legal obligation to provide, both to provide a protest area and to put it appropriately close to the convention.
I just think they're snowflakes, Dom. What a bunch of, what I call Gary, what a bunch of whiny little bitches.
I mean, and to assume that there's going to be, what, assaults? Because you got to walk by the protest zone? I mean, that's, the Republicans are the one that, you know, charged the mound on January 6th for crying out loud. I mean, maybe they're concerned that those folks can't handle it, that the GOP or the megas will come and attack the protesters because we know how sensitive they are.
Dom, we were in the protest zone in 2016. We had been encouraged to bring gas masks to Cleveland for the RNC convention. We did. We took them. And then we went to the park, and the only smoke in our eyes were coming off a pipe you were toking off of. But, Dom, if I recall, the only real confrontational stuff was the God Hates Gays, the Westboro Baptist Church. And I'd hardly call them liberal protesters. And they got in a confrontation with Alex Jones from InfoWars. Right? That was the other than that, and the people walking around with the muskets and the different variations on the AR-15s. I mean, there were a number of people there armed to the gills. But you know what I really didn't see? A hell of a lot of anti-Republican sentiment. It was mostly like crazy conservatives drawn like moths to the fire that were in the park sort of arguing with each other.
Well, this is what I'm saying, and it, perhaps that is the actual underlying concern for these folks. It's not that, you know, those that would protest the Republicans and the megas coming to Milwaukee and you know, the Nazi flags, the Confederate flags, and the Three Percenters and the Proud Boys and the white Christian nationalism, yada, yada, yada. We saw how those folks acted, man. They should be more concerned about the protesters' safety than those inside the security
zone. The only other malcontent I saw in the protest park was really you, Dom.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't get enough of Alex Jones, so you followed up with the Westboro Baptist guys arguing theology with the Webster.
There is no God. Yeah, I know these people. I mean, I'll do that all day long, man, but I'm not going to, what, I gotta get a credential and a permit to protest to yell back at some crazy fanaticals? I don't think so.
We don't want you embarrassing Scott Walker at the RNC convention. We did that enough in Cleveland at Tuskers on the River.
Shooter.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making heavy looks so good.
And we are back for 20 break. Thank you for listening. Devil's Advocate Radio Show. Love it when you participate. Join the political party. Air the grievances a little early this week. 844-967-2789.
You done bitching? On behalf of the Republicans.
Oh, they're so sensitive. We don't like the protest. It's too close. Because, of course, you know, deep down, it's their folks that are going to be freaking out like they did last time.
844-967-2789. We got a good friend, Mike Clemens, sports reporter, backer, Packer beat writer, joining us in just a few minutes. But your early grievances could be right now. If your name's Mark from the SAC, welcome, Mark. How you doing, man?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, and that for the pipeline thing, maybe the chief executives should be executed if there's a big spill, or at least flogged as a result of their inaction and actually protecting the people. Now, getting to the inadequate Republicans here, I mean, that it's obviously they have complete sense of probably justifiable sense of inadequacy because they're whining about this so damn much. I mean, they're supposed to represent, be welcome to hear the voices of protest because that's the sound of liberty. I mean, how come they, these are the same rascals that actually think that the January 6th protest, well, it's just a peaceful tourist visit.
Well, Mark, they don't feel that. They just know that those people were really there to support them.
Yeah, well, It is just, but they weren't in support of the peaceful transfer of power, and that's what these guys are supposed to actually uphold. They took an oath to the Constitution, and they should be called to account for that every time they open their damn mouths. I mean, it's anathema to me that they're whining about a free speech zone or a protest zone. I don't want to be downwind of these guys when they're in
Milwaukee. Mark, you remember when Scott Walker was having octogenarians and retirees and anyone of conscience that would come down and sing in protest, the Solidarity sing-along participants? What did Scott Walker do? Had him arrested. I mean, come on, man. We know they're not down for dissent. They're not down for protest. Don put up a picture the other day of Scott Walker literally trying to yank a protest sign out of a guy's hand at the Iowa State Fair. I mean, they've never been down for protest.
With a mic in his hand, speaking, exercising his own constitutional rights, at the same time trying to take away someone else's right.
They want to say whatever they say without consequence, Mark. They want to govern without consequence. They don't want to be challenged.
Walker should have been arrested for assault when he tried to take that sign away from somebody, because that's what they would do to, that's what they would have done to somebody. Some Walker was holding the sign, somebody tried to yank it away from him, because Walker's a bigger wuss than just about any of them.
Well, I do remember Dale Coinga getting some sort of civil forfeiture, like $30,000, apparently paid by donors. His military training kicked in, and he had to take down a poster he didn't like.
He was walking into the Capitol. I believe there was a camera caught him. He walked past whatever the protest sign was and was allowed to be there, and walked past it, walked through the vestibule, came back with a latte in hand and grabbed it and took it. That was Coinger, right? Now, isn't he the head of the Milwaukee Metropolitan Area Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah. He's the new Tim Sheehy.
Oh, yeah. That's the guy who did that. So, I'm not surprised. But here's the thing. Also, let's remember, this is the same footprint that was offered for the DNC last time around that didn't really happen. Same footprint, same park, same First Amendment protest area, same spot. But apparently, if you listen to Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, that was before all the Black Lives Matter protesters, because now it's a whole different world, he says. Well, yeah, there's a difference. It's not because of BLM. It's because of your crazy Christian nationalists who want to, usurp democracy, throw away our votes, and, rule by force. Because that's what you did when you crapped all over the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
844-967-2789. Now, let me turn to a more cheerful note. Dom, the people have been asking us to go out and party with them. And some may not know this, but we have finally broken down. We were going to do a public party at the Barrymore Theater on June 27th, the occasion, the scheduled presidential debate. Now, if there's no debate, there's no party, or at least not the same sort of debate watch party. But we're going to do a pre-debate, perhaps profane. Maybe we'll keep it clean, but I think there'll be a few F-bombs. I know Dom well.
If the mics aren't on, man, and I'm not under FCC thumbs, I make no promises.
So the 100% real pregame show at the Barrymore Theater, we're not even going to charge you anything. You just got to bring your cash down, buy some beer, and, maybe throw a fiver in, because Crudy doesn't want to get stuck with a big tab at the end of the night. But we are down. We have made this happen, Dom. We have locked down the Barrymore Theater for June 27th, and this event will start, the formal part, the speakifying, at 7 p.m. The debate at 8 p.m. should wrap up by about 9:30, and then we'll commiserate some with our friends, some of whom will be quite drunk by then, I suspect. Looking at you, Salvia.
Oh, come on, man. I'm a professional.
So wanted to get the word out. We'll start promoting this in earnest, but since I got your commitment, Dom, I'm putting you on the record. I'm telling people so you can't back out. I'm doing like Alito did when he leaked the Dobbs decision.
The ruling, man. Come on. Now you're making me do it.
Last show before the holiday, Dom. I got to put you on the record. Otherwise, the entire audience is going to have a grievance, man. They're looking for a party, dude. They miss us. They want us on that wall, you know, talking trash before a presidential debate. I feel quite confident. I think we'll get good feedback. If not, I feel quite confident I might be butthurt because, you know,
no matter how butthurt you get, Curdy, there's no butthurt like a mega butthurt.
Oh, well, that's not comparable because, you know, they're quite snowflakish. And, you know, I only melt in the rain, Dom, because I'm so sweet.
Right.
Come back with us. We got a friend. It's a sweet and sour Thursday that feels like a Friday. Mike Clemens, our Packer beat reporter and general sports reporter. He joins us next. We'll talk some sports, man. I got tickets on Monday. So does Rich going to the Cubby Brewers game. And I'm cheering for the Brewers, man, just in case there was a question. Yes. Yeah, not a fan of the Cubs. Craig Council, you can keep them. More Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a Thursday that feels like a Friday. Looking forward to a long weekend, but not yet. We're not there yet. We've got some sporting news from our friend Mike Clemens. He is the sports reporter with Civic Media. He's the Packer beat reporter for many years. You know him, you love him. Welcome back, Mike Clemens, to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Dom, how are you guys doing?
Good, man. Good, man. Not working anywhere nearly as hard as you. Packers OTA, now you're catching a flight out to, what, Boston and chasing the Brewers this weekend? Back for Chicago and the Brewers on Monday? Man, you're a hardworking guy. Nothing like Dom.
I know, but but you know, obviously, I know how many people would just, you know, love to get this chance. You know, our shows and our stations, the Brewers appreciate that we're there every day, and these other teams as well. And so, you know, they give you the key to the back door, and you know, let's take it. And I've never been to Fenway. There was a time about 20 years ago, I had a buddy that was in radio in the Boston area. They were a Red Sox affiliate. And so we were all set to go see a game, and then they had a family emergency on Wednesday. So he said, well, here's the tickets, man. I can't go. You and Cindy go. And it's Saturday. We show up, rained all day, completely rained. So this will not be a chance for me down to see a game inside Fenway and take in all that history, but I actually get to cover it. You know, I'll be in the clubhouses of both teams and talking to the managers and the assistant coaches and the players. And, you know, I mean, the Brewers are battling to stay atop the top of their division. I think they've now lost three or four series on the road. Kind of shocked that they couldn't get out of Miami and pull that one. So, you know, let's see what happens with them against the Red Sox in Beantown.
You know, I'm a little envious, Michael. Obviously, the Brewers used to be a American League team, and the Red Sox and the Yankees, I mean, they were amongst the most hated teams. I remember Wade Boggs. I remember a lot of those guys. Michael, is this one of the parks? I mean, part of the charm, I think, of living the life you live, and I know it's a lot of hard work in airports and driving, but you get to see some of the coolest places in America, dude. You know, Fenway Park, that's on my bucket list.
Right, And it should be, because, you know, you and I remember Carlton Fisk, you know, in the 75 game, trying to keep it fair and all that history. And then, this is so funny how these things just sort of come your way. I was talking to a buddy today about things to look for from Fenway, because, you know, he used to cover Packers with me, Greg Bedard. Now he's in the New England area. And he was just telling me about a story a guy told me. He said, about the grounds crew, this is the early 1950s, and it's an off day, but it's during the season at the ballpark, and the crew is like downstairs in the offices, and they hear this kabam, kabam, like, was that a gunshot? They come out to the seats, and there's some dude with a long rifle shooting at the center field wall. They get closer. It's Ted Williams with a sharpshooter rifle. But they remind, you know, they're reminded that Ted Williams was in the Marines. He was a gun expert. He served with John Glenn, the astronaut, back in the day. Those two knew each other. Talk about American icons. And they said, Ted, what are you doing? He said, man, I got a hold of Willie. He knows all the details of the gun. And so he was using the zero in the 400 number up on the center field wall as his target. And he just thought it was so cool he could hit the bullseye inside the zero in center field. Like, Ted, would you stop doing that, please?
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our pal, Mike Clemens, he is the Civic Media sports reporter, getting us caught up on all the goings-on. Mike, I want to ask you about the Packers, man. What, Christian Watson, something with his legs? Does he have one leg longer than the other? What's going on over there, man? What do you know?
Yeah, I was talking to Crudy about this. So obviously, you know, when you saw the year before last when Christian Watson finally got healthy and he had a knee issue in the offseason, whatever, you know, he's so tall. And when he lines up, you could see defenses just back up like, whoa, whoa. And then on top of that, if you could just get the ball over the middle to him, like Aaron Rodgers did, he's gone. I mean, he's just gone. He's so fast and hard to bring down. He doesn't have a very big upper body. I even asked him about that. I said, hey, in the offseason, you're going to sort of beef up a little bit, you know, on the upper body? Because I've seen that over the years between Jordy, Devontae Adams, and others. He goes, no, this is pretty much where they want me to be. But, you know, he's running an open field. I think it was that game against the Chiefs, and suddenly breaks down with another hamstring injury. And at the end of the season, LaFleur said, yeah, we've got to get this fixed. You know, there's things that we've got some ideas of what we're going to do. Well, one of the first things they did is they fired Chris Gizzi, former linebacker, strength and conditioning coach. They got a new staff in there for that. But they sent Christian Watson down to this facility that's in the Madison area, you know, this Badgers athletic training place, where they said, look, you know what? Think about this. All of us, if you went to a staircase, what's the first foot that you use? Do you lead with your right? Do you lead with your left? And if you lead with, let's say, you're right, that's probably because you feel you've got more strength in that leg. Well, they measured this out, and they said, for him, they said his left leg is 20% stronger than the right. Guess which one keeps on getting the hamstrings? The right leg. So now if we can focus on working out that right leg, and they can't get it to, you know, 50-50, but if you can get to within maybe 5 or 6% of those two, they hope, that when you're running wild and, you know, making cuts in the backfield of a football game, that right leg will be stronger and less susceptible to a hamstring strain.
Both my hamstrings are old and decrepit, but they're of equal age and decrepitness. So, right. You know, it's fully balanced,
you know,
Mike.
You know why? Yeah. You know why? Because it's been so long since you had to carry a half barrel kegger up the second floor. That's why.
That's right.
I've actually been hurting myself quite a bit. I get hurt quite a bit more at this age. Like, I still think I can do stuff. I can't imagine what these young what these young guys go through getting the snot kicked out of them. Let's talk about the OTAs, the Packer camp. We've had some guys getting hurt, not on the field, but in the weight room. What's with this new weight regime that keeps blowing up guys' pectoralis, the chest muscle?
Right. They opened the doors and was like, that looks like Tucker Kraft over there with his arm in a sling. Is that Tucker? Or is that some undrafted guy? No, that's Tucker Kraft. Oh, my God. Didn't he just get married? Yeah, okay. And then you're looking around and it's like, wait a minute. Why is Jordan Morgan, the first-round draft pick, lining up at right tackle with the first team guys? So did Zach Tom voluntarily not show up to it? No, Zach is over there watching. What the heck's going on? So we start asking around. After practice, and it's like, first of all, it was Matt LaFleur. Yeah, at the rookie orientation camp, we were told you can video shoot periods 2 and 3, very limited, and please don't shoot any pictures of Matt LaFleur today. Like, what? So we asked him, why can't we take pictures of you? He says, all right, somebody let the cat out of the bag. He says, I tore my pectoral muscle bench pressing in our new weight room facility. Well, it also happened to the right tackle and they're, you know, one of their stud tight ends. In just the last month, they've had three guys doing bench pressing, apparently, and under a new regime of strength and conditioning coaches. And I, but that's serious. I mean, I talked to a former player. Are you kidding me? Right tackle? What's the first move you make? You take those hands and you lunge it at the defensive end, you know, middle of his chest to push him back. And you need that. You have to build up that pec muscle, and that's a blow to have him out. So maybe the middle of training camp until September. And so I guarantee you, Brian Gutekunst wants some answers. Like, how is this happening during bench pressing in our new weight room facility?
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine guest. He is sports reporter, Packer beat reporter, Mike Clemens. Mike, how did my guy Jordan Love look? I got the boat bet on this guy. I named the boat after him. I hope he's living up. How do you look in camp?
You know, it's just OTAs, right? We're 7-on-7. It's really kind of three-quarter speed. It's voluntary. There's limitations of what the team can do. It's helmets and shorts. I'll tell you this. There was one play where they were 7-on-7 and almost looked full speed, and he faked inside, and then he rolled out to his left. He's opposite side of where he throws, planted his feet, and he heaved a perfect dime 50 yards down the field in stride to number 83, Samari Toure, third-year receiver who had coverage on him by just a step or two. And we looked at each other and said, that didn't happen a year ago. That was the ball that we've talked about, that, you know, it's always just a little off, or, you know, maybe 2 in 5 that he actually hits like that. This one he hit in stride. So just so much more confidence, continuing to grow, work on his footwork. But the other question is the contract. He was asked point blank, if you don't get a contract by, say, the start of camp or, you know, the season, are you still going to go out there on that field and set foot on a preseason field or even a regular season field without, you know, the big deal in hand? And he says, well, you know, we'll see. He's such a good guy. He doesn't want to, you know, get into that stuff. But it's a reality. He's got a very aggressive agent who's, you know, trying
to play. Is it Rosenhaus? Is he with Rosenhaus, Mike Clemens?
No. It's a David guy. He's a new guy. A new guy who's built up a pretty impressive athlete list. And he, you know, he's pretty hardball. And, you know, you have to run that fine line of, like, listen, you have to listen to what your coaches do. You got to be part of the team. But this is the business part, and, you know, you have to strike now. And I think the team also might be sitting back and looking at, well, what's the Trevor Lawrence market going to be like? What's Tua's market going to be like down there with the Dolphins? And, you know, we only saw 8 games, and we've got this guy under contract. We don't have to act right away. Maybe we'll wait until Thanksgiving or so, see how the season goes. So it'll be that kind of a cat-and-mouse game, but probably if all things work out right, the longer the Packers wait, the more expensive it's going to be.
Mike Clemens, what is the attitude in the locker room? You mentioned this to me. What did you find the locker room attitude was through OTAs?
I was jaw-dropping, and I waited until I got upstairs and waited until some of the writers were, you know, could take a break and say, what'd you think about today? And a couple of guys knew exactly what I was saying. Zero drama. I mean, outside of that weightlifting thing I was telling you about, these are all second and third year guys. They know what they're doing. They know what the competition is to earn these jobs. You know, they are hungry and they are ready to rock. And, you know, there isn't this, except for maybe Jair Alexander. So where's his head going to be at? You know, because he got suspended. Is he in fact truly on board and less worried about, you know, bling and being a kind of a show off, and more on being a little bit more mature, focused football player? Because he's very smart, but he's kind of out there sometimes. But he's got to be that, you know, that leader, that shepherd for this younger team. And the coaches, they are so excited about Xavier McKinney. LaFleur called him the dude. No, he says, when I had dinner with him, right away, that's the first I thought, this is the guy. This is my dude. They are very excited to get McKinney out of the Giants. Everybody calls him X. So I can hardly wait to get to know him and see what he's all about. He wears number 29. So the bottom line, I am having a hard time trying to think of a better spring where that entire locker room had everything pretty much resolved. The only thing, even Goody told me that at the combine. He goes, you know what? Biggest thing we've got is signing Jordan. They are set. They are set to be a team that plays for each other, that will learn. They'll have their adversities and injuries, but there's just no, there's, that means that these guys play with each other, but there's not like past years with drama and splits in the block room like I've seen over the years.
Mike Clemens, last 60 seconds, the disappointing end to the Bucks season, but Giannis named to the All-NBA first team. What's your thoughts on the end of the Bucks season?
He, you know what, last night after getting that dumb, he put out a nice message on Instagram saying, hey, Bucks fans, I promise you, you know, we came short, but we're gonna get the damn flowers, which means, you know, we are going to get a title here. So it was nice of him to put that out there. And yet, you know, just about a week ago, I said this to a buddy. Doc Rivers fired three assistants. One of them was one of Giannis' closest friends. He was not happy about that from what I was told.
Mike Clemens, go make your flight. I don't want you blaming the Devil's Advocates if you missed the series this weekend. Thank you so much for joining us on a Friday. Safe travels, Mike Clemens.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a great Memorial Day weekend. See you guys. Bye-bye.
The Devil's Advocates. Making radio great again.
And thank you for listening to the Devil Advocates Radio Show. Happy, happy Friday Eve to us all. Join us on the lines. Air your grievances early at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I'm thankful that Mike Clemens was able to join us between flights, had a long layover in the airport, heading off to Boston. Brewers got a 3-game series, and then Monday back against the Cubs. I'll be there. Rich will be there. I don't know where you'll be, Dom, but not hanging out with us.
Neither. I don't know where I'm going to be either, man. We'll see. We'll see. It's a few days away.
Well,
Brewers up right now, what, 2 games ahead of the Cubbies right now in the NL Central.
Well, that's where they belong.
Very important game.
They're all important games when you play the Cubbies. And don't forget, when our college buddies get together at the end of June, also the Cubbies. Also Craig Collins are coming to town. Dom, I got a few on the text line. Trash texting Jeff from Shorewood says, I grew up 6 blocks away from the Barrymore Theater. Watched Herbie the Love Bug there. Then I'm driving down Atwood Ave and I see Debbie Does Dallas there. I suspect Jeff also went to that movie. few talking about the free speech zone, including Jack and Merrimack. But there shouldn't be a problem. MAGAs have better ideas than Democrats, right?
Right?
Then WMDX texter says, America used to be a free speech zone. Yeah, those were the good old days. Scott from Madison texts in, my grievance is it seems like Madison Gas and Electric is only servicing Madison. When are they going to get their other customers outside of Madison? I'm feeling a news story here. # Service Middleton. Well, Scott, being without power at Middleton, suddenly I agree with you. Service Middleton.
It's not Middleton Gas and Electric, Crudy.
Drake from Green Bay says, new game for the folks heading up north for the holiday weekend. Earn points for every Epstein Trump billboard you see. I counted 5 between Green Bay and the Nicolet National Forest last trip.
What?
And then he put up a picture. It's on our text line, Dom. Trump and Epstein together. And it says, please remember. That's all it says. Please remember. Trump and Epstein on a billboard. What else we got here? There's a Make a Difference Armed Forces Day for those who currently wear the uniform. Veterans Day for those who wear the used to wear the uniform. And Memorial Day for those who never made it out of the uniform. That's also Jeff sharing. He said, it's not a party weekend, boys. It's a Memorial Day weekend.
Can you do it both
your way, Jeff, and I'll do it my way. 844-967-2789. I don't mean to be disrespectful to those that served their country and paid the ultimate sacrifice. Just saying. But just if partying saying. Happens, because it's a four-day weekend, just saying, Jeff, it's going to happen. We work hard around here for you, dude.
Yeah, Jeff. Come on, man.
You're home from work every day by like 3, 3:30, 4 o'clock right. listening to us.
Don't you be in court doing something? Don't you have people to defend, Jeff?
Don't you have clients?
What would you say you do around here? Don't you have homes?
You didn't know it was a participatory trash talking, did you? Yeah. We're not afraid to shoot back. 844-967-2789. So the phone line, we've got the early grievances because, Dom, this is a Thursday that feels a lot like a Friday because we are not going to be doing a live show on Friday or Monday honoring the fallen dead, the veterans that lost their lives in foreign wars. And I'm honoring them by going to the Brewers-Cubs game. As is Rich. Not together, you know, but if we see each other, we'll act like strangers. We don't know you. Outside of work hours, Rich won't even acknowledge he knows me. No.
Hang out with the producers. What? Come on, Rich. Love you, man. I'd hang out with you, man. To hell with Crudy.
And the other big concern I have this weekend is I got to get up to the lake and find out how the Jordan Love boat did. The namesake of the Green Bay Packers. I mean, for the sake of the 2024-25 season, Dom, that boat better be doing okay. I left it tied up to the pier last weekend.
Okay, gotcha.
And, you know, it's well secured for normal stormy weather. And I thought we'd be okay because I put the cover on it.
Oh, that thing could be at the bottom of the lake as far as
it could
you know.
Be at the long of you bottom of Long Lake.
Camera out there to keep an eye on who's taking Crudy's Jordan Love boat on a joyride, man.
I took the keys out of it. You can't steal it, per se. You could paddle it away.
Yeah. Is there gas in it?
There is gas in it now.
Okay, now. Now there is.
I'm just wondering, you know, if I've got 500 gallons of water in the boat and if it's flipped upside down, covered with trees. That's the curiosity, you know? So
you got that thing registered and insured, Michael?
Registered, yes. I did call the homeowner's insurance agent, and really I was more concerned, like when I'm driving it down the highway, when I'm taking it from lake to lake, I'm more concerned.
That's auto liability though, isn't it?
Well, that's kind of what they told me. Well, you're already insured for that. I'm like, well, it's a no wake lake, so I can't go fast or anything. I'm like, how much damage can I do?
You could. You might choose not to.
Well, that is the regulation, and you know me, Dom, I never break the rules.
What if you on the Jordan Love boat like crash into another boat? What happens then?
Well, what I'm saying is on the non-wake lake, that'd be a hard thing to do at 4 miles per hour.
That's assuming you're following the rules, but you know, rules are meant to be broken. Let's say you have another friend up there and you're both racing as fast as you can go to damn the torpedoes.
Ramming speed!
What happens then, man? Rubbin's racing.
You know,
you're gonna have someone have to touch up that paint job that you did on that fine boat.
It's fiberglass. I only got $2,500 in the thing. I mean, what's the worst that could happen, right?
Yeah.
I'm not paying a deductible on a 50-year-old fiberglass boat. That thing could sink. I'll buy another boat. More Devil's Advocates. I'll just paint it green and yellow and white for Jordan Love.